It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I do things every day, all day of my life, where I just wonder, what would my two buddies at work think? Like today, I had something stuck in my tooth, so I grabbed one of the steak knives out of the little setup, the ensemble, picked it out, back it.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Early flag on the play in studio. Thanksgiving down in the States. So it's a really difficult day for Canadians, I think. Like, I don't believe that we are a jealous people. Very patriotic. We all love being Canadian. I love being Canadian. I'm so proud to be from this country. I've lived here my whole life. I want to live here the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But the States, they know how to do a Thanksgiving.
It's bigger than Christmas there. It's their main deal. Christmas is honestly in the States. I found it to just be like another day. It's like Merry Christmas, but
you know why?
This is the real deal.
Because not everyone celebrates Christmas.
No, I'm talking about people that do. It's just this is their big deal.
Yeah, this is way bigger. It does seem like this is it. And to your point, Noodles, this has nothing to do with religion. If you're an American, you celebrate it. Christmas, if you're Muslim or Jewish or whatever, you don't. So, everyone's got their own. Wow, we're watching this football game, and this is going to be very distracting this afternoon. I just got caught because the Lions just took one back to the house, I think, to tie it with like a minute left. Anyway, we'll update you on that throughout the afternoon.
That just rattled
That rattled my cage big time.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, it's more about just the days off and the way America does it, period.
Right, and I'm a bigger proponent of the Thursday-Friday off as opposed to the Monday off.
You like it from Wednesday night to Sunday and then back to work Monday?
I like going into the weekend. So you have your days off and then you wake up and you're like, wow, I've got a weekend, as opposed to a Monday where the next day you're at work. All you're doing is pushing a Sunday back.
Sorry to interrupt you, but that was a blocked field goal back to the house.
No way.
Yes.
But there was a flag on the play. Anyway, we can't do this all afternoon. We're going to have to turn the TVs off because I can't sit here and watch the rest of this game, and then the Chargers and Cowboys are up next.
The Vikings play.
But the reason I bring this up is that we are just inundated with pictures and videos of people's food, and Noodles brings in the greatest smelling
barbecue
of all time. I don't know what you're eating over there, but
it's a honey mustard chicken that I picked up at Pusateri's on the way. And I picked it up, not on the way, I picked it up at 1 o'clock. I got a haircut today. My haircut place is right by Pusateri, so I ran in there. Steph, as usual, is lazy. She's laying on the couch, so I grabbed her a ham sandwich, and then I grabbed myself a piece of chicken.
All right.
And I said, I'm going to eat that because I have an 8:30 flight tonight. I'm going to Columbus. I'm calling the game tomorrow. So I didn't feel like there was going to be a chance for me to eat anywhere, so I brought in a gutless piece of chicken.
Yes.
Chicken, apparently.
Very gutless.
And it smells good, though, because I went and warmed it up.
Right. It smells very, very good.
It's better than what... Didn't you bring in some sort of nonsense? Like, didn't he bring in, like, a fish...
seafood pasta.
Yeah, that was horrible.
That was...
It smelled like a sewer in here for 3 hours.
It was not good.
That's the weird thing about food, man. Sometimes it can smell terribly, yet taste incredible. And sometimes it goes the opposite way. You're like, wow, what smells so good?
Yeah.
And then they tell you what it is, and you're like, that's going to taste really bad.
Absolutely.
I'm not on board with that. Yeah, you're right. The Lions just blocked a field goal, took it to the house, but there was a flag on the play, so they lose.
Wow.
How Lions-esque is that? They started horribly. Credit to the Vikings. I think that's 7 wins in a row for them. I think that basically wraps up the NFC North. So the Vikings are probably going to the playoffs, and I'm not sure what the Lions are going to do, but we'll keep tracking what's going on in the NFL throughout the afternoon. Alex Marvez, our buddy, the American, an American on the show around 6:05. We'll get his take on this Vikings win over the Lions, and we'll look ahead to the Chargers and Cowboys, which kicks off in about a half an hour. The Leafs are coming off a 2-1 shootout loss last night.
Yeah,
but I thought they played pretty well, and in the third period, it wasn't even close.
They took
absolutely
over.
Bobby
dominated.
Lewis, he's Bobby dialed Lewis. In right now.
Luongo's the best player on the ice.
I sent him a note last night just saying, man, he looks sharp, because he was nicked up. We all know he was banged up a couple
Babs
weeks
gave
ago.
Him the ultimate compliment, too, after the game, apparently.
What did he say?
Hey, you're still good.
Oh, really?
That's what Babs was heard saying to Luongo. Hey, you're still good.
Yeah, well, that's what we talked about, potential Hall of Famers. I didn't like the Leafs' start. I thought they, you know, they, at one point they were being outshot 11-1. Like, I know it's on the road, and sometimes teams will start quick, but did you notice, like, the building was half empty?
It's always like
but
that.
But for a Leafs game, I played in Florida. We would play Montreal, Toronto, Boston, Chicago, any original six team, the house would be packed, and there would be a lot of transplanted fans there. Mm-hmm. That's just... But I'm watching the start in that game last night. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know it's 7 o'clock game. Maybe people, it's a long ways to drive. They built the rink in the wrong place, and still halfway through the second, I'm like, nah, still friends.
I think
and
it's
family,
too early in the season. I think so. I think a lot
for
of Canadians.
The snowbirds
that's
to
what
go
I'm
down?
Saying. They go down around Christmas or after Christmas into the new year.
Oh, when did you used to go down? Or you lived there, I guess.
Probably. I was there September 15th.
Yeah.
Just make yourself real comfortable, huh?
Just real comfortable in September.
Just get right in there early.
Well, the worst part was, I think it's something like you only got 6 months. And I'm not trying to sound like I was complaining, but we ended up having to go back to Muskoka in like March.
Yeah, you have to pay taxes if you're there for
well, you're just
six
not you're there. You're not allowed there
from a visa standpoint. Yeah. You mean yeah.
There was no visa. We were just people living in Florida.
Yeah.
So you're stuck up in Muskoka in March, and as fun as Muskoka is, there is nothing. I mean nothing going on.
There's probably mosquitoes at that time up there, too.
No, it's still
no,
it's freezing.
No, it would be cold, man. Yeah, there'd be snow all over the place.
They'll find a way, I'm telling you.
See, that's an amateur move, man. You had to push it back November 1st. You
no
should
kidding.
Not have been down there until
no
November
kidding.
1st. But that's hindsight, so who cares anymore.
Amateur move on his retirement. He's in Florida and Muskoka.
Yeah, who am I kidding?
Exactly. Like, it's not a bad thing, actually.
No, it's not. But, yeah.
It was not a bad gig.
No, it was a very good gig. And listen, I don't even care about the whole... The attendance stuff at a lot of these places...
No, I just brought it up as a sidebar.
I mean, I hear you, Noodles, but I'm so sick and tired of it because for decades we've been talking about it. Carolina's a joke, with all due respect.
No,
Florida's
you're right.
A joke.
It's a joke.
It's a joke. No one shows up. They, you know, I feel for the fans that are diehards down there, but it doesn't feel like they have any footprint on that community. There's no connection. People don't go. And
like you wonder, how the hell are you making ends meet? Like, how are you paying people?
I can't imagine they are.
You get subsidy from the league, and then you also you have deep-pocketed owners that use this as their toy, like their fantasy hockey team.
Yeah, it's a vanity purchase.
Yeah, you're right. That's basically you've said that before. There are some owners in this business because they want to make money. They're passionate hockey fans, but they know that's a viable business. There are others that I believe got involved as a vanity purchase, but are making money as well.
Well, some of these owners, though, now that are buying teams today, specifically in the NBA,
right?
I can't picture a scenario where they feel like they're going to make money, at least not right off the bat. Like that guy who just bought the Rockets. Yeah, $2 billion. That Steve Ballmer with the Clippers paid $2 billion. Like, no one else was even close, but that guy was, he had Microsoft money.
Yeah.
He's worth $20 billion. He's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll pump in 10% of my net worth, and want to sell it down the road, he may not get $2 billion, but he'll get close.
Close.
And so what does he care if he loses $200-300 million?
Plus, I'm sure that it keeps afloat with its day-to-day. Like, that doesn't
I just
look
find
to
it frustrating
like,
where there's markets that are putting 2,500 people in the building for a game. And you could put it in a different city where they're going to sell out, and it's a popular thing, and people go crazy over it. That, to me, and I'm not going to get into who deserves a city or who deserves a team, but to have that as part of the product of the NHL, it's embarrassing.
Well, did you see? I can't remember where it was. A couple days ago, I watched something, and they were saying that, you know, the NHL is, NHL sniffing around, but maybe another team, a 32nd team. And it wouldn't be a relocation, it would be an expansion.
Yeah,
because
it's Houston.
The expansion fee.
Because the guy comes out in Houston and says, I'd love a team here.
But, I mean,
where Jerry's going to be hanging out for the next two months?
He's already been down there.
No, I know, but it makes more sense in Seattle, if you ask me.
I don't know enough about either market. What do I know? But I
lived in both of those cities, actually. But I know Seattle could house a team and be fine there because there are so many... So close to Canada, there'd be a big rivalry with the Canucks. They may have to pay some sort of like fee or some sort of
geographical tax.
Yeah, kind of like if there was a second team here. But ultimately, the league can expand. I mean, we're seeing it in Vegas. We'll see how long it lasts.
But... Well, look at Vegas. They won again last night in Anaheim. They're first in their division,
yeah.
And it's U.S. Thanksgiving.
I don't see them being there in the end. You're like, maybe
I have no idea how they're doing it. Like, no one can start to spin it with, you know what, actually, they're a good team. No, on paper, they're not. On paper, they're not a good team. They're not a good team on paper.
I called the game against Ottawa. They play a very simple style that works for that team. It's almost like they push pucks up the wall a lot, and they try and defend middle ice and basically force everything to the outside. And Gerard Gallant, he's a great coach in the sense that I think he knows exactly what he has, and he said to his guys, you want to survive, almost like Jacques Lemaire did to us 17 years ago in Minnesota.
Yeah, but
you want to survive?
Where did you finish, though, in the
NHLs? No. I understand. I'm not trying to
compare.
Let's
not pretend like this guy is some magician. Like, Gallant's a good coach, but this is ludicrous what's happening.
But my point is in Minnesota, they didn't have a deeper talent pool.
Like, you don't think they're good?
We didn't have James Neal on our team.
I'm saying
on
paper. Okay, David Perron.
I know.
That guy gets traded every trade deadline and goes somewhere else and is on the third line.
I understand, but he's
who is William Karlsson? Like, who are these guys? Eric, what's this guy's name?
Haula? From Minnesota?
Who the hell is that?
He's a pretty good player, actually. That's the thing.
Let's be honest here. I'm not trying to take anything away from them.
Right.
This is the most remarkable story in a long time in the NHL. I'm happy for the city and
what
that city went through right before the season. It's a great, great story. This is more of a shot at the other teams in that division and the other teams in that conference.
Right.
Like, again, we have been goofing on Edmonton for months. If you are an Oilers fan, you have to be looking at that team and saying, okay, let me get this straight. David Perron is the Connor McDavid equivalent?
No, it's...
Bill Karlsson is Draisaitl. Riley Smith is Nugent Hopkins.
No, but like, they got Marchessault. I mean, James Neal scored 40.
James Neal's the real deal. He's a good player.
But Marchessault has scored 30.
They're on their third string goalie.
I agree.
I'm just flabbergasted is my point. Like, I'm actually... in awe that they're winning games. I'm in awe. And
well,
I give them credit.
You're right. There's no way anybody predicted, like, geez, Vegas is going to come out of the gates here.
No.
But there were a lot of people that said this isn't the most embarrassing team ever put together.
No.
So it's somewhere in between. Like, here's something that I actually heard today in speaking to somebody in the league. The guy had said this to me, and it actually resonated. It's going to take a couple cycles for the teams out west playing Vegas to get we're playing Vegas out of our mind when they're in Vegas. Vegas only lost one game, and that's to Detroit in Vegas. He said he was with a team, and you could tell the players, they're playing the game, but they're still in Vegas. Like, it's almost like you've said before, like the distraction. And it's not about guys running wild and running amok, but you got to go through a casino to get there. You got to go through, like, the mindset before Vegas just becomes another building to play in, is still very fresh. The teams in the West are going to flush through that a lot quicker than the teams in
Noodles.
The teams in the East are
going to... I'll give you that. Last night was in Anaheim.
I understand that.
Do you know what they outshot Anaheim last night?
No, I didn't see the box score.
49-19.
They went in and rinsed Anaheim.
And they were down 2-0, and they won 4-2. 49-19.
Yeah,
what is your beef here? You just can't believe what's going on.
It's not a beef.
You're in awe.
Flabbergasted.
You're in awe.
I am in awe. I fully salute them. I can't believe they're doing this. Like, I really cannot.
Well, the question
believe
is, what the hell
it.
Are they going to do with their roster? Because their general manager has to deal with James Neal, Perron, two guys you just talked about.
I think there's
who are unrestricted.
Unrestricted, and you've got to make
so
decisions.
So it's like, what do you do to your fan base? You're like, we paid this guy paid $500 million. They wanted to be competitive in year one,
mm-hmm.
and now you're faced with a big decision. It's like,
yeah.
Do you say screw it and we're going to throw it away? Or
well, and
you can't.
That owner feels like the kind of guy who might be kicking around the boardroom on trade deadline day.
You think
hey, boys, what are you guys doing in here? Oh, I thought I heard a rumor that you might trade James Neal.
Well, you're talking about locking guys up for several years, and what happens if this is just a one-off and they suck next year, and then you're sitting around being like, now we got these guys locked down and we can't move them.
I would suggest that should be the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, this is an expansion team that is shocking the world. This is as close to Major League the movie as we've ever seen.
Every win we peel off a strip.
They won three in a row.
Let's go through the roster here.
You're upset about
David
that roster.
Perron is Jake Taylor. The guy was in Mexico, and they called him up and asked him to come to training camp.
White walls.
Riley Smith is Serrano. Like, we could go down the list. I can't believe it. Like, full credit to
Perron
these guys.
Perron is Roger Dorn.
Bill Carlson
but
is
you know
Willie
what's
Mays
funny
Hayes.
Is you talk to people. What they did and the way they constructed their team, actually, again, I still come back to the talent pool was a lot deeper this time around than it was 17 years ago. Because Marchessault, Neil, Carlson, like if you talk to those respective organizations, yeah, teams felt that they either had better players in-house or they were going to lose. They had to lose somebody, so they just put him up. Like Nosek, for example. Riley Smith is a pretty solid player.
He's a good player.
He's a 15, 20 goal scorer in the league.
He's a good player.
Like what they did is they went and got a couple like solid players, like more than a couple, a lot of solid players from teams. For example, the kid they got from Dallas, Cody Eakin. Like Cody Eakin's a solid player.
All of those guys,
solid
noodles,
NHL player,
good players.
Not stars. Not and what they've put together is this. A bunch of solid players that can skate and play in the league as far as
okay.
the tempo of this game.
I'm with you on that.
Like, I'm not making excuses and saying,
I'm not making excuses. My point is, like, who in that division alone on paper, you could make the argument on paper they're as good or better than Arizona. I'll give you that.
Yes.
But Edmonton, no.
No.
LA, no. Calgary, no. San Jose, no. Anaheim, no. Like, that's why you don't play on paper. I mean, this is the beauty of sports.
You're right.
You got to step on the ice and actually perform.
Yeah, you get some mojo going. You get guys doing things. It's amazing.
You're right, and O made a great point. At some point, they've got to make some hard decisions.
Really hard.
On the future of their organization.
David Perron's good right now this year for them.
But is he's not 7 years at $6.5 million.
No
good.
Way. No
not
way.
That I'm suggesting.
He's at the eight. How old is he right now?
Be around 30.
I think he's around 30.
Yeah, that age in this league, you never know when the wheels are going to fall off.
But here's the thing that, conversely, on the other side, just because you're playing like a star on Vegas, that doesn't mean the rest of the league is going, I got to give that guy $7 million at 7 years.
No, of course not.
James Neal may be an outlier because I think teams may think this guy can give us something. But I wouldn't suggest, and we had a player in Minnesota who was playing on the first line in Minnesota, but he would have probably been a third line on most of the other teams in the league. Didn't price himself out of the league, but I think in his mind he was like, I'm a first-line player, I should be this and that. And Minnesota said that to him, like, okay, we're not going to pay you. They ended up trading him. Guy was out of the league in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that can happen.
So they've got to be careful. The Perrons and that have to be careful to see where they're at.
Randy Carlyle's Scrabble face last night, I wish I saw it, because if they were up 2-0 and lost 4-2 and outshot 49-19 at home,
he would have been
just picking
I
at
was
that
watching
temple.
The Winnipeg-LA game, so I didn't...
Winnipeg, there's your best team in Canada right now is the Winnipeg Jets.
They're a good team.
2-1 in LA.
They're a good team.
All right, we'll get into the Leaf game last night. Kadri versus the world. Everyone's talking about Nazem Kadri, his role last night. Matthews and Marner, I don't know what happened, because a few days ago, Babcock was insulted by the idea that those two would keep playing together, and they played it together again last night.
Another addition when we come back. Who else should be on that line?
All right, we'll touch on that next. We're tracking the NFL games. The Vikings went into Detroit and beat the Lions. So the Vikings have a stranglehold on the NFC North. And it feels like they're basically going to run away with it. That was a real swing game. If Detroit could win that game today, that would put them a game back. Now they're three back. The Packers don't have it in them with Rodgers not playing. And the Bears have tailed off. They're done. So I guess credit to the Minnesota Vikings if they can keep plugging along. And Case Keenum is the story of the season. I mean, this guy came out of nowhere.
Well, they're saying there's still controversy amongst this guy because Teddy Bridgewater is sitting on the bench and they're just waiting for a bad quarter, half. And they're like, what the hell do we do here? I think you got to just say, this guy's our starter.
I agree with you. Don't overthink it.
No. Like, if you want to keep leaving him in limbo, he's going to have that one bad game or one bad start.
Well, it's not like Teddy Bridgewater was Tom Brady. You know, he was good.
Hasn't he built up enough good faith? As he has an off game, they're going to go back with him?
I would think so, but you know the way it works. Like, that's the thing about football, man. They don't play enough games
to let somebody play it
off. Let someone play something out, man. Like, look at Tyrod Taylor. He had one horrible game, maybe a game and a half, and they pulled him.
Look at Deshaun Watson this year. What did he give that other guy?
They gave Savage one half. Tom Savage had a half.
Tom Savage, that's a great name.
It really is a great name.
Might ever hear again.
That dude is savage.
That is such a great name.
Well, it was savagery that they pulled him at the half, and he got Wally pipped and never got back in. Well, I guess he did, because Watson blew his knee out, but he wasn't going to. If Watson was healthy, he'd still be playing. So anyway, we'll keep tracking these games. And this afternoon game is actually pretty meaningful. I don't see the Cowboys. I think the Chargers are going to win today. I think the Chargers are a better team than their record indicates, and they've lost a few close games, and they've got a great pass rush, and Phillip Rivers, good quarterback. So we'll see what happens this afternoon. We'll keep tracking it. We're going to get into the Leaf game last night. They dropped 2-1 in a shootout. I don't think that score was an indicator of the entertainment value. It was a pretty good back-and-forth game. Both goalies stood on their heads. Roberto Luongo had a great night.
Yeah, he did. He was really sharp. When he's sharp, he just makes it look easy, eh? Like, he's a big goalie. Like, you forget, like, he's 6'3 and has size 15 feet. Size 15 skates.
Size 15?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got these big, like, flappers.
The dude's a fish.
And
you know what they say about big feet.
Roberto Luongo.
But Lou had a night. He looked in control. He's really good in the shootout. Right? Like, there's not a lot of motion in his game. And, like, I think Marner thought he was going to get him to bite, and Louis just was like, no, I'm not having that.
Wow, the Leafs penalty shots were.
How about Bozak's? Like, that was...
Well, he lost control of the puck, and then he was brutal. Like,
did you see how bad that ice was?
Luongo's nuts.
I know, but...
I said to Steph right away, I'm like, I know what Florida's ice is like. Can you imagine after one little scrape after a full game, and you got to go down, you're the fourth? You think he was fourth shooter,
right?
I'll tell you what, that Barkov for Florida, the reason he plays 23 minutes a night, because he's that good.
He's a good player.
All right, we'll get back into that in 2 minutes. Leafs back in action tomorrow night in Carolina, then at home against Washington on Saturday. I guess we have to assume that Matthews and Marner will stick together tomorrow night. I mean, who knows? Babcock, last week when he was asked about it, or after the game in Montreal, asked about the idea of them sticking together. He was, like, so thrown off that anyone would even suggest it.
You want to know my thoughts on it?
Yeah.
Why don't you stop screwing around? Depth is, for the most part, for the playoffs. If you can get two lines going and producing offensively, and the other two lines go out there and be good lines and chip in offensively when needed, you can never have four lines. Like, it wasn't real life what was happening at the beginning of the season. Every line scoring, this guy doing that. You got to just, like, get two really good offensive lines going. Come playoff time, there's where you're looking for some depth, where it's balanced out. But right now, like, get some guys hot.
It's a good point.
I'm with you on that. You know what I found interesting? We talked a lot about the minutes played by Matthews and what he'd end up doing. He played over 21 minutes last night.
Perfect.
Yeah. And why can't
you do that? If the other kid in Florida plays 23, why the hell can't he play 20?
Like we said yesterday, not every game, but every third or fourth game, be like, you know what, he's humming. And he was, in the third period, the guy was a machine. He was an absolute machine in the third.
That's identifying that you're, like, I think we said this yesterday. If you feel like he's having a game and taking over, get him out there every second shift or find a way to get him more ice. Florida doesn't have that depth, but to O's point, they use it well. They use what they have well. They got Barkov and Bukestad. Bukestad is actually a better player than people give him credit for. I know a little bit behind the scenes just because I'm friends with Roberto, so you kind of sniff around and you ask players about certain other players. Like, Bukestad's biggest challenge is he hasn't been healthy. But he's a big, strong centerman who's got a good shot. But they're top heavy. And then, you know, the bottom, yeah, you can mix or match players like that, but Florida's underachieved. Let's not forget, they've underachieved this year. They haven't been a very good team. Well, 16 points going into last night.
I think what we saw to the third period explains that. I mean, they had a better first period than the Leafs, clearly, but I think the majority of the game, the Leafs were right
second
there.
And
in the third,
the game,
it wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. And it was on the Leafs to kind of snap out of it and push. And listen, Luongo played great. That's a different reaction for me than the Arizona game, because that happens. Sometimes you run into a very good goalie, you're on the road, you get your point, you move on. But I'm fine with Matthews and Marner continuing to play together.
Why was Matt Martin on that line for a bit? Started the game with Martin.
Well, what I was going to chime in on.
I'm not sure why.
How come Connor Brown doesn't get a chance up there? I know he wants somebody that can forecheck and be responsible, and Zach Hyman can forecheck. But why doesn't Connor Brown? Like, he started on the fourth line. He works his ass off every night. He creates offense. He made an unbelievable play from his off wing last night. Why doesn't he just get a chance there? Let it fly for a little bit. Your offense has sputtered here a little bit. Why not? Why not him? He deserves it. He deserves to move up.
I'm a guy, if I was creating, I mean, again, this is our fantasy hockey team, if we're talking about it. I'd like to see Marleau play with Matthews and Marner. I'd like to see how that would work out. Because I think Marleau can keep up to him. He's defensively sound, as in Matthews.
One or the other, but Babcock talks about putting guys into positions where they can succeed. Matt Martin is no business being on the first line. He has no business playing with Austin Matthews.
No, of course
he can
not.
Go up and down his wing and hit and throw his weight around. He has no business being on the first. And I love the guy.
Yeah.
But no business playing there.
No, fourth line, give me your 10 minutes and that's it. But I honestly think that Babcock looks at those two guys you're talking about, Marleau and Brown, and he values them so much, he almost doesn't want to waste them on a line with those two. And
really?
What I mean,
that's overthinking it, Brian. If you think that's the thought process.
I think it's been clear. The way he strategizes, he likes balance.
Sometimes you just got to go back to peewee hockey. Get your best three players, put them on the ice. Your second best three, put them on the ice, and you just do it like that.
He doesn't believe in that. Like, you can believe in that all you want. I might concur every once in a while, but he doesn't believe in that. And I think he looks at it and suggests that Marleau is a guy who can kind of help a line or drive a line or save a line, and Brown's the same way. He likes having guys that he can quote-unquote trust on every single line.
Well, Craig Button talked about that with Lettinen in Dallas. He's the guy that you go out there when things are a mess, he'll straighten it out.
Yeah, Yuri Lettinen. Here's,
he'll get it in, he'll get it out. He'll do the right thing. He'll make the right pass. I don't know. There's some overthinking going on.
Here's something I will say in defense of Babcock's mindset, regardless of what we think of it. You remember Max Pacioretty's comments after the 6-0 debacle? I'll quote him. He said, "They have so much depth, they wore us down, and they just, every line can go." And I think that's the mindset. Now, whether you believe it's right or wrong, that 6-0 debacle for Montreal showed them, and probably other teams too, that whoever's coming over the board,
that's exactly right,
there's depth.
And I agree with that.
And Pacioretty's comments kind of spoke to that's what the mindset of probably Babcock is whoever he throws out, he has to have somebody that he trusts on there. But there's a layer of skill there as well that can be game breakers or find the back of the net. So it's worked so far. But to your point, situational, and I think he did it last night. 34 is going? Yeah, here's 21 minutes. Well, I'll take it away from somebody else because my fourth line center doesn't need it that night.
Well, you know who's really, let's be honest, the biggest underperformer through 23 games is blatantly Tyler Bozak. Like, I don't even think there's a debate. I don't think there's anyone within the same stratosphere. He has drastically underperformed. And to the point where last night, Marleau was playing center. Marleau was getting double shifted at times. Mm-hmm. Because I think Babcock said, "I don't know if I can play Bozak."
I don't know what has happened to Tyler Bozak, whether he's battling some type of nagging injury or he just woke up and he became old overnight. Doesn't look like he has any pop in his stride, doesn't have confidence with the puck. And it's just, Mitch Marner kind of took him along for the ride last year, but he was feeding off and it looked like he was rejuvenated and he was playing fantastic. You're right, he's not even close.
No, he's not. And listen, they've got enough depth, though, where you can overcome one guy's shortcomings, or one, you're waiting for one guy to jump back onto the train. And that's the luxury of signing a guy like Patrick Marleau.
Yeah.
Because I thought Marleau played really well again last night.
Well, he's a good player.
He's a really good player. He's a very consistent player. They're lucky to have him. So,
and it just cost them money. Like, it didn't, like, they didn't have to go out and get a draft pick or trade anybody for him. It cost them, which people still believe or perceived. But now that you watch Patrick Marleau, has he put people's minds to rest a little bit about the contract and the age?
Well, I think for the short term, at the very least.
But it's a 3-year deal. It's not a 7-year deal.
I know, but it's like 3 years is still not inconsequential, and it's not $2.5 million a year.
You're
it's
right.
6.5.
It's a big number, but it's not a big term number. So for me, at 38 years old, I think coming in, doesn't matter what I knew about Patrick Marleau, you needed to see it for yourself to just trust that they... I mean, they saw it.
I generally don't have problems with 3-year contracts because they seem to go by so fast.
That's what I was trying to say.
Like, halfway through next year, you're going to be like, oh, he's only got 1 year left, and he's gone.
But the problem is if you have massive financial decisions to make and that number gets in the way.
That was always my concern. I mean, the player himself, every team in the league would take Patrick Marleau. I don't care how old he is.
Great player.
Well, how different are the massive contracts that we thought they would be shelling out at this particular point in the season? We were saying in training camp, like, they better lock up Nylander to $6 million a year. Like, is that even an option for him right now? With 2 goals?
Well, he's been up and down. Yeah, he's been very streaky.
What if he ends up with 10?
Yeah, well, he's not getting paid $6 million a year.
You're right.
Like, I don't
know
how.
It's a totally different dynamic.
But let's hold on a second here. What if the guy ends up with 15 goals? I think he's going to get more, personally. I think he's going to have
a streak. I agree with you. He'll get hot again.
But what if he gets 55 points, 60 points? And what did he have last year? 60 points?
Give or take.
I think he had 50. Yeah,
no, he was 50. Over 60. He had 61 or 62.
Oh, it was Marner that was...
No, they were both the same. I think they were both like 61 points.
Okay. I misspoke. So let's just say they're 60-point guys. That's $6 million.
In today's NHL, it is. I think the question would be, is it 8 years or is it 3 years?
Yeah.
You know, is it a bridge or is it a long-term deal?
I think... I was thinking this like negatively last night. Somewhere in the back of the minds of management, and like, I think they're all right with these guys slowing down a little bit because maybe it just dials everything back a little bit.
If the team is winning,
that's the point. Is they've got a bunch of points, but yet they're also allowing these kids to go through a little stub the toe here.
Best case scenario is they win and Marner has 48 points and Nylander has 46.
Yeah,
and then the agents come to the table and go, "Well, we want this," and they say, "Actually, you had 48 points and 46, so why don't we do this?"
Right.
That's a great situation.
It's a win-win if you're still having success.
If the team is winning.
Right. That's kind of in the back of my mind I was thinking, but, you know, these kids, we call them kids because they are still kids, are still going through the process, and the one thing, you know, Strutty said it yesterday, and don't think it doesn't apply to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Teams are aware of them. You're circling 16.
Go ahead.
You're circling 29. You're circling 34 because you know those guys can do damage against you. That's my point.
Well, and I thought they all played well last night.
You're right. They did.
I thought Nylander played well. I thought he had some jam. I thought he had made some nice defensive plays.
I don't know. Me and you looked at something different.
Yeah, you didn't see. I thought he had a good game. I thought he had jump. I honestly thought he played the best game he's played in a long time.
And my assessment was I just noticed the one glaring where I thought 3 weeks ago he would have put that puck through the net on a 2-on-1.
Yeah, that 2-on-1 where he was just right in the...
And to me that said he's maybe overthinking his game. But the fact that I didn't notice him outside of that, a lot of times that's positive because to me you're not giving the puck away in your own zone. You're responsible. You're not getting rinsed for a bad chance against.
And one other kind of hockey element to his game, he's got this pull up move down pat where he stops up and he curls up. It's like sometimes just take that right to the net.
Well, you're not going to get touched. Like,
well, he's a strong kid. Like just. Yeah. If you're going to pull up every time, the book's going to be out on you. Just have, even if he could, Jamie, do some kind of, Tarasenko's got this stutter step move where he acts like he's going to go back, then he cuts in and puts his shoulder down. You can't stop it.
Yeah, you're right.
Race coming up, Alex Marvez on the NFL. We're tracking the Cowboys-Chargers game, which is just about to kick off. Vikings beat the Lions in Detroit earlier this afternoon. The Raptors lost at the Garden last night, and they had a third quarter for the ages.
Didn't they do that a bunch last year?
Not to that extent. They were outscored 41-10 in the third quarter.
Well, there was a 28-0 run, which was just redonked. Their score was at 62 for forever.
Yeah, I remember that. They went, like, it was like 8 minutes without a basket or something. Like, that happens. Like, it's strange in the NBA.
Right.
But the Knicks have been around for a long time, and when the Knicks are setting a record on you, you know you mailed in a quarter. And they came out hot to start the fourth, but it was too little too late. They lost to the Knicks last night. We'll get into that, and we'll hit the roulette, give away a VIP ticket to our party down at the Pint, December 10th, next. So we have CP24 on in here, and they were just showing a shot of Prince Harry. You guys read yesterday that...
Isn't he engaged to Meghan
Markle? No, but he's not engaged. What the reports were, that they're going to get engaged in 2018, but why would that, like, who sends out a flyer before you actually get engaged?
Because it's some idiot in the media over there that saw them out shopping for a ring and started a rumor, and that's probably what it is.
We got to get the audio of the football coach yesterday giving wedding advice.
Mike Leach?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a beauty, that guy.
Mark, get that audio, and we're playing it. Okay,
right.
We're playing
it.
A U.S. Thanksgiving tradition will be started today. Mike Leach on wedding advice.
Classic.
It's such a guy's talk, too. Like, he's like, well, this is what's going to happen.
He's like, the women are going to go crazy.
They're going to bother you every day about what to wear, what they're supposed to do. But anyway, I guess shout out to Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. And
for their future engagement?
Yeah, future headlines. Prince Harry will be engaged.
Wouldn't you figure two people like that would keep it under wraps where it's just like, or maybe they wanted it leaked or...
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what, you leak something to TMZ? Like, hey, just so... Maybe he did it just to see what her reaction would be.
Yeah, if she was a hard no guy.
Maybe more guys should do that, like... Specifically guys that try to get engaged at sporting events. Like, remember that guy at Fenway this year?
Got rinsed.
Oh. Had it all set up. Like, it was up on the Jumbotron.
She gave a hard no,
like,
too, wasn't it?
Like, a quick and decisive
no
guy.
No, we're good.
Imagine your prospective fiance said no guy. Like, actually those words, like, tattied you.
She'd just take the bus home. Like, I wouldn't give her a ride home or anything.
Like, she did the finger across the top lip and said, no guy.
No guy.
With a mustache.
Put a mustache on.
She put a fake stache on.
And said
fake, no. The fake nose and glasses at the store, like Taddy. Because he's got a honker on him, glasses, and a stache. And
yeah,
just said, no guy.
No guy.
You know what? We should get three setups of those with the glasses, the nose, and the mustache.
We should one day, actually. Come in here as the tap man and just do yes guy, no guy for 3 hours.
We should do it at the 6 p.m. hour with the nose and glasses. Yes guy, no guy.
All right, we're doing it. We're also doing something down at the Pint December 10th. TSN 1050 is inviting everyone down there to see McDavid take on Matthews, the Oilers and the Leafs. Bring out your friends and meet everyone from 1050 to catch what should be a great game. We're also looking for 38 VIPs who have a shot at leaving the Pint with hockey tickets or a trip for two to Vegas for the Leafs' New Year's Eve matchup. A game I'm starting to think they're going to lose. Vegas is the real deal Holyfield all of a sudden. You can win VIP tickets on Leafs Lunch and Overdrive every weekday before the big party. December 10th down at the Pint. You know the way this works. Mullen, hit the cheesy sound effect.
Oh, yeah.
Black 4. So caller 4 right now at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 4 picks up a VIP ticket to hang out with the TSN 1050 crew down at the Pint December 10th. Rays coming up. We're tracking the NFL. Get into that Raptors debacle last night at the Garden. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.